Well, amen. Have you been blessed by all the God-honoring music here tonight? Wow, what awesome music ministry you have here. And Brother Mylon Hayes and your dear family, thank you all for blessing us again. That is one of my favorite all-time songs. I love it. I don't have a dead faith. I don't serve a dead Savior. He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. It is wonderful to be in the house of God here at the South Georgia Bible Conference. Pastor Wayne, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and to stand in this pulpit that I have the opportunity to stand in tonight. I am grateful to have, as Pastor Wayne pointed out, my dear wife with me here tonight. I love to go on the road when she gets the opportunity to go with me. Our children are almost out of the house. My youngest is 20 years old, and she thinks that she's got it all figured out. If you've got a 20-year-old daughter, yours does too. But we're able to travel together a little bit when we get to go out and preach, and I thank God that she is here with me. I also want to just say a word of welcome to two guys that have already been here. It's rare that I get an opportunity, truly, to stand and preach in front of my two preaching heroes in my life. There are two preaching heroes I have in my life. You've already heard from two of them this week, Brother Ron Lynch and Pastor Mike Stone. I listen to them preach almost every week. You've got Brother Gerald Harris on the docket. And what you've got here this week is a who's who of preachers. But on Monday nights, you got the who's that of preaching. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be on the team, amen, and on the ticket. If you got your Bibles tonight, I want to invite you to find the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 20, and as you're finding your way there to 2 Kings chapter 20, let me just tell you that I want you to know a few things tonight. First thing I want to make sure that you know is that I am honored and thrilled to be here. I heard about a lady that had come to downtown Valdosta, Georgia. She had come down to shop, and she parked her car, and after she parked her car, she was walking through downtown Valdosta, and as she was making her way to the shops where she wanted to shop, she passed by a pet shop. And out in front of that pet shop, there was a parrot in a cage. And she walked past that parrot in that cage, and she got almost past him, and that parrot spoke to her and said, "Hey, lady." She turned and looked, and that parrot said, "You're ugly." Well, she was maybe a little bit offended, but she just kept walking and did her shopping for the day. She finished up her shopping. She was headed right back to her car, and she had to go right past that same pet shop, that same bird outside on that sidewalk. And she began to make her way back to her car, and she passed by that bird again, and she got almost past that bird, and that bird said, "Hey, lady." She turned and looked. That parrot said, "You're ugly." She had enough. She walked inside the pet shop. She found the pet shop owner. She said, "Let me tell you something. On my way shopping, that bird offended me, told me I was ugly. On my way back, that bird said the same thing to me and told me I was ugly. I want you to know I am offended by that bird you have out in front of this pet shop." He said, "Ma'am, wait right here." He walked outside. He got down in that bird's face inside that cage, and he said, "Let me tell you something. That lady's getting ready to walk out of this shop. If you tell her she's ugly again, I'm going to come back out here. I'm going to reach inside that cage. I'm going to grab you by the neck, and I'm going to squeeze the life out of you. Do not tell her she is ugly when she walks out of this shop. Do you understand me?" Man went back inside. He said, "Ma'am, I don't think you'll have any problem with my parrot." She walked out the door. She's just anticipating walking past that bird in that cage, and she got almost past, and that bird said, "Hey, lady." She turned and looked, and that bird said, "You know." "You know." Well, I hope you know I'm happy to be here. I love going somewhere new. I get to tell that, Brother Wayne. It's just my favorite one. 2 Kings chapter 20. Did I tell you 1 Kings the first time? Good. All right. 2 Kings chapter 20. There are many songs about battles in the Christian life. And tonight I want to preach on this subject to you for just a few moments. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. You've maybe heard the song, "The Battle Belongs to You." Michael W. Smith recorded a song that says, "This is how I fight my battles." And if you listen to the entirety of the song, you would have to be somebody that enjoys those 7-Eleven choruses, because I don't know that he says anything else in the song except, "This is how I fight my battles." He never tells us in the song how he fights them. He just says, "This is how I fight them." But tonight, from the Word of God, I want to show you a man by the name of Hezekiah who has a battle on his hands. And he's going to teach us, as we learn from his example, how to fight our battles. The culture and the canon have two conflicting views about how to fight our battles. The culture tells you to rise up and fight. The canon will tell you to bow down and surrender. And when King Hezekiah finds himself in a difficult situation that we will read about in just a few moments, we find him bowing down rather than bowing up. You can read some background on Hezekiah from 2 Kings chapter 18, but you'll find out that he's the king of Judah. No other king like King Hezekiah. Became king at the age of 25 years old, followed his father, who was a wicked, wicked king. Ahaz, his father, had turned the people away from the one true God and turned them unto idol worship. He had the doors to the temple nailed shut. And when Hezekiah assumed the throne, he restored temple worship. He led the people to turn away from false idols. And I love this. Hezekiah took the bronze serpent that Moses had fashioned in the wilderness and destroyed it into pieces. Now, that thing was some 700 years old, which suggests to me that nobody in the kingdom of Judah was a Baptist. Because you can't get rid of anything that's 700 years old inside a Baptist church. Let me just go there for a second. We got organs in our conference room at my church that don't work, Brother Gerald. They ain't worked in years. And I say, everything else around here that's dead is across the street in the cemetery. But we got this dead organ. Why do we have it? You know what they say to me? It's old. Well, King Hezekiah got rid of some stuff. And he restored the worship to the one true God. This is a man that walked with God, that sought God, that served God. And yet this faithful man is going to find himself in an absolute battle. Now, the folks on the Tongues Broadcasting Network would tell you that Hezekiah is a man that would never have a problem, because he is a man that is right with God, and those who are right with God would never have a problem. And if they do, a holy handkerchief or a little wonder-working water will just do the problem. These guys never met a man by the name of Paul. They never met somebody by the name of John the Baptist. They never read about the disciples. I'm talking about men in the Scripture that walked through some times of difficulty. So you're here tonight. You think somehow because you're walking through a time of difficulty, your faith just isn't strong enough. Listen, we're going to read about a man tonight who was a sold out man for the God of his life. And he has a problem. And those of us that walk with God, sometimes walk through some days of difficulty and fight some battles we never imagined we would fight. You see, some would say to us that if we're right with God, we should be enjoying wealth, not enduring weariness. But the truth is, as believers, sometimes we fight battles. And tonight we're going to learn how to fight that battle. 2 Kings chapter 20. Let's stand together and honor the public reading of God's word tonight. If you're there, would you just say amen? Amen. If you're glad to be here, would you say amen? Amen? What an incredible crowd, brother, on a Monday night. Thank you so much for being here. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. The prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I'll add unto thy days 15 years. And I'll deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. I'll defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." And Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs," and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? Hezekiah answered, said, "It's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Heavenly Father, I pray now as we walk through this passage of Scripture, that Lord, you would help us, Lord, to not only be hearers of the Word, but Lord, we'd be doers of the Word. Lord, I pray tonight you would just one more time give me that touch that turns a mere mortal man into a messenger of the Almighty. Lord, we need to hear from you this morning, or this evening. And Lord, may the sweet Holy Spirit be our teacher tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to jump right into the outline as we see this man Hezekiah. Number one, I see the problem for King Hezekiah. It's right there in verse 1. It's a very clear problem, but it's a twofold message in this problem. Number one, there's a desperate situation. I mean, you talk about a battle. Can you imagine getting the news that King Hezekiah has just gotten? He is sick, and the Bible says he is sick unto death, but he's just 39 years old. He's just experienced a great victory. It's time to sit back and enjoy life just a little bit. It's time for him to enjoy his position and his prosperity. He had just experienced great victory, and now out of nowhere, it seems he has a debilitating sickness. Now, I have to believe that King Hezekiah had access to the greatest doctors in all of the kingdom of Judah. He probably had the pharmacist on speed dial. He knew who could take care of him. And I imagine he probably tried everything that he could to ensure that he was taken care of and that his health was mended. But the problem seems to be getting worse. There's a desperate situation, but there's a death sentence. Things go from bad to worse for King Hezekiah pretty quickly. And Isaiah the prophet shows up. The preacher shows up. Here's a guy. He's sick. It's gotten around town that King Hezekiah's not doing well. And the preacher shows up. The prophet of God, Isaiah, shows up. And he comes with a message from the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 1. Isaiah comes to him and he says, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, can I just chase this down real quick? That's exactly what the preacher of God is supposed to say. The preacher of God is supposed to say what God says. Amen. I love a man that'll just stand up, pick up the word of God, plug into another world, and just preach the truth of God. Amen. I just want you to say what God says. Amen. And Isaiah is doing exactly that. He's making a pastoral visit. And I don't know about you, for you pastors that are in here right now, but this would have been a pretty tough pastoral visit. How you doing, King Hezekiah? Here you're dealing with some sickness. God sent me by here to tell you something. You're going to die. Listen, the pastoral visits we want to make are, God's going to heal you. You have not because you ask not. Let's just go to the Lord and ask him to tell. Listen, you're going to die. I tell you what. you need to get your will up to date, Hezekiah. Call the funeral home, get your pallbearers, pick out the suit that you want to be buried in, decide who it is that you want to sing Beulah Land at your funeral, determine what pictures you want to roll on the screen while everybody walks past you, because you're getting ready to check out of here. Good to see you too, Pastor Isaiah. And in a matter of moments, things have gone badly. And King Hezekiah's got a problem. The man of God has come by and said, "You're getting out of here." How many of you know one phone call, one doctor's visit, one conversation with one of your children, and you got a problem? There's the problem of King Hezekiah. Secondly, not only do I see the problem of King Hezekiah, I see the prayer of King Hezekiah. How's Hezekiah going to respond to this news that you need to get your house in order because you're going to die? You know, it's been said you can learn a lot about someone by watching their actions. I believe you can learn a lot more about someone by watching their reactions. So how's King Hezekiah going to react to this news that he has gotten? He's got news of his impending death, and when he hears that news, he turns to the Lord in prayer. His first response was not to take to social media and make sure that his Facebook posts that everybody knew the plight of his life, that everybody knew how difficult everything was for him. He didn't get on Instagram and snap a picture of his boil so everybody could see it. He didn't want everybody to know how difficult his life was. No, Hezekiah went to the one that he had walked with, the one that he served, and he went directly to the Lord in prayer. Listen, a Google search will tell you very quickly, Lifeway's got some 1,711 books that have the theme of prayer. And I'm here to tell you, this man Hezekiah didn't have to Google a one of them. Amen. This man Hezekiah just bowed and he began to pray. You can go back to chapter 19 and verse 19. This wasn't the first time Hezekiah had plugged in and began to pray. This wasn't the first time that Hezekiah had found himself in a place of difficulty and turned to the only one who could deliver him from that place of difficulty. He didn't have to spend a whole bunch of time getting right with God before he could really get in on his prayer life. I'm telling you, Hezekiah was a man of prayer. He was a man that knew the power of prayer. Listen, we've got a lot of resources on prayer. I'm just not sure we got a lot of routine of prayer. He didn't have to pull out a book. This guy's been a man of prayer for a long time. 10,080 minutes in a week. 10,080 minutes. If you just did a quick scan over the last 7 days, the last 10,080 minutes, would you be able to say you're a person of prayer? Am I a person of prayer? This subject always lends itself to a quiet preaching service. Because if most of us are honest, anemic would sometimes describe our prayer life. The discipline of prayer is often neglected. But I think old Hezekiah had a hot prayer life long before he had a health problem. Notice with me a few things about this prayer. Number one, it was a private prayer. Look at verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Hezekiah turned aside from everything that was around him, anything that would distract him, and he began to pray. He's going to demonstrate for us what Jesus would later teach the disciples in Matthew chapter 6 when he said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret, and thy Father who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Find yourself a secret place, a place of that is free from distraction, and get alone with God. That's exactly what Hezekiah does. He has a time of private prayer. Is there a place for you? I've discovered if there's not a place, it won't be a priority. It was a place of private prayer. Not only was it a private prayer, I'd say it was a peculiar prayer. Now, I've been a Baptist my whole life. I have heard some peculiar prayers. Mostly on Wednesday nights. I mean, some of those you've got to have a medical degree to understand what people are praying. Here's what's peculiar to me about this. Now, let me ask you a question. Can we just be real down here in South Georgia for a minute? Let me ask you a question. Isaiah just showed up at your house and said, get your affairs in order. You're going to die. You turn and begin to pray. What are you going to pray? Well, let me just tell you how selfish I am. Lord, would you please touch me and heal me? God, please, my kids need me. My wife won't be able to walk a mile without me. She will not survive. I think that's what I would pray, right? What's peculiar to me about this prayer is Hezekiah never prays to be healed. I beseech thee, verse 3, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. He's not bragging about himself because that's true. And I've done that which is good in thy sight. Read the life of Hezekiah. Yes, he failed just like everybody else has as well. But Hezekiah was a man that loved the Lord. He didn't try to cut a deal with God. Tell you what, Lord, we got visitation next Tuesday. You touch me, I'll be there. I won't miss visitation again. Matter of fact, Lord, I know I've stepped down out of the choir, but if you'll heal me, I'll get back in the choir. I'll get back to singing. I'll get back to deacon. I'll get back to being, I'll get back to doing whatever you tell me to do, Lord, if you'll touch me. I don't know about you, but sometimes we try to cut deals with the Lord rather than just surrender to his will. I don't see where Hezekiah was trying to cut a deal with God. It's a peculiar prayer. Jesus taught us in the model prayer, what? Thy will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. I sense that Hezekiah simply surrendered to the will of God. It was a private prayer. It was a peculiar prayer. But notice thirdly with me, it was a passionate prayer. Look what he says in verse 3. I beseech thee. Look at the last two words of verse 3. Wept. Sore. Put yourself in his spot. I mean, you just got some devastating news. And he begins to pray. And I believe he's given us the Old Testament version of what James says, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe this was a fervent prayer. He beseeched, he begged God. And the Bible says he wept sore. Weeping as he prays over this situation. I was talking to your pastor before service, and I was telling him about my career before I went into the ministry. I was in the healthcare industry. And we would travel pretty extensively. There were many times I left on an airplane at 5:30 in the morning on Friday, and I got home late on, or 5:30 in the morning on Monday, and got home late on Friday. And I was going to a healthcare conference with a fellow by the name of Stephen Reynolds. He was one of our customers. He was a good friend of mine. And we decided to room together to offset the expenses. So that night, we had finished up the conference for the day, and we go back to the room, and we're talking a little bit, and we're showering, getting ready to turn in for the evening. And you know these hotel rooms that just have two beds, you know what I'm talking about? You know, just the two double beds. I'm laying up on one of them, sit back, and Stephen gets out of the shower. He's dressed. He's getting ready to get into bed. He says, Brother Chad, you mind if I pray before we turn in for the night? I said, no, brother. Help yourself. Now go to this hotel room with me. I'm just laid on the bed. I'm relaxed. I'm laid up, right? Brother Stephen gets down on his knees in between those two beds. And that old boy begins to pray. And I'm telling you, heaven came down in there. And he was begging God on behalf of his family. Everything about his life he had just poured out before the Lord. And I'm telling you, weeping. Power of God. And I don't know whether to get down in the floor. I don't know whether I should eat. You know, y'all looking at me real spiritual, but had you been in there, you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. I wasn't sure what to do. And I'm telling you this, I'm talking about passionately praying. I'm talking about serious, passionate prayer. And he finished and he said, amen. And I said, Brother Stephen, can I ask you a question? I said, do you pray like that every night? I'll never forget what he said to me. He looked at me and he said, you mean you don't? Passionate prayer. It was a private prayer. It was a peculiar prayer. It was a passionate prayer. There's a problem for King Hezekiah. There was the prayer of King Hezekiah. But then there's the promises to King Hezekiah. Now, I don't know about you, but I love it when God answers quickly. Those are my favorite prayer requests. Amen? I mean, I love when God just answers quickly. I know it's yes, no, and wait, but I love yes. Amen, don't you? And that's exactly what happens for King Hezekiah. First of all, there's a promise of recovery. Look at verse 4. It came to pass before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again, tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, and the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord. Isaiah is leaving after that pastoral visit. He's making his way out back to his chariot that's awaiting him. And Isaiah goes out. And before he gets off the grounds, the Lord says, hey, go back in there and tell him that I have heard his prayer. I have seen his tears, and I am going to heal him. That reminds me of Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, when God told Moses, he said, you tell the people I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their sorrows, and I have come to deliver them. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. That gives me hope in the midst of my battle, whatever my battle may be. When I fall on my knees in my place of prayer, I've got a God that will say to me, I have heard your prayer. I see your affliction. I am going to answer. I know your problems. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful there's a God of heaven that turns his ear toward the prayers of one of his saints. And I don't want my prayer to be anemic. I don't want it to be weak. I don't want it to be a sorry hope. I want to be a passionate, praying man of God that hears the word of God when he answers. I'm glad he sees our affliction. He hears our prayers, and he delivers. He says, you go tell him, I'm going to add 15 years to his life. Whew. Now, you and I, here's what we would have done. Well, I won't give you a hard time. But here's what I would have done. I appreciate 15. Right? I may have just gone back and said, Lord, I've walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. There's a promise of recovery. There's a promise of rescue. You see, God's also made him a promise to deliver him out of the king of Assyria who's coming to attack. They likely got word the king was sick and on the verge of checking out, so they thought they'd check in. Because the enemy never plays fair. And here comes the Assyrians. But God promised he's going to defend the city of Jerusalem for his own sake and for David's. There's the problem of King Hezekiah. The prayer of King Hezekiah. The promises to King Hezekiah. But go with me very quickly to the proof to King Hezekiah. I love this. Hezekiah says to Isaiah, verse 8, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I go up into the house of the Lord on the third day?" Isaiah said, "The sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees?" Hezekiah answered, "It's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord. He brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the Dial of Ahaz. King Hezekiah says, "Hey, Isaiah, can you give me some sign that all this is going to come to pass? I'm going to be in the house of God in 3 days. I've been healed." And I love what Isaiah says to Hezekiah. You want me to get the Lord to turn time forward 40 minutes, or you want him to get him to turn it backwards 40 minutes? I'd have said, "Preacher, we're going to move time backwards?" "Oh, yeah. Well, just move it backwards then, because it ain't a big thing for time to go forward." I never understood that, brother. It's not a big deal for it to go forward. It's a big deal for it to go backwards. And he says, "Would you just turn back time about 40 minutes? And God turned back time 40 minutes as proof of his promise to King Hezekiah. Now, here's what I want you to see tonight. Here's what I want you to see. Here's a man that walked with God. Here's a man that sought God, served God, found himself in a significant battle. And in the midst of this significant battle, in the midst of this death sentence, he falls on his knees in prayers, and that was how he fought his battle. He just surrendered to the word and the will of God, and God does an absolute miracle. Now, by way of closing, let me just give you an example of how the greatest man that ever fought a battle fought his battle. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus meets with his disciples. He tells them what's ahead. He tells them that the cross is ahead. And the greatest battle that's ever been waged is about to take place. And Jesus finds himself, oh yes, in a difficult situation. And yes, he finds himself under a death sentence. And the battle ensues. And so how would Jesus fight the battle? How would Jesus fight the battle that he finds himself in the midst of? Before there was ever a Golgotha, there was a Gethsemane. Jesus, what's he going to do? He's going to go to a private place. He's going to pray a passionate prayer. And he's going to surrender to the will of the Father. And they're going to take him. And they're going to march him up Golgotha's hill. And they're going to put those nails in his hands and in his feet. And they're going to hoist him and suspend him between heaven and earth. And he's going to speak 7 different times. But when he does, finally, he's going to give up the ghost and die. But you and I both know that when the dust of all of that settled, there was one that came out victorious. He is Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm here to tell you, he fought the battle of Golgotha in Gethsemane by passionate prayer, by private prayer, and by a prayer that was surrendered to the will of the Father. What you battling tonight? I'm sure that with this many folks in our worship center tonight, there's battles represented all over this place. Walking through something you never imagined you'd walk through. Dealing with something you didn't ask for. Whether it be a difficult diagnosis that you've just received, a wayward child, a financial issue, a relational issue, your marriage may be hanging on by a thread. Whatever it is, you find yourself in the battle of your life. King Hezekiah gives us an example of how to fight our battles. King Jesus, our greatest example, shows us how to fight our battles. We surrender to the will of the Father. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray tonight that every person under the sound of my voice that may be walking through a time of difficulty, that find themselves, Lord, in the midst of a battle, Lord, they would follow the example of King Hezekiah. They'd follow the example of the King of Kings, who just fell on their knees and surrendered to the will of the Father. Lord, it could be that we're in a battle over a situation inside of our families, a battle over a situation with our finances, a battle over the situation of our marriage. Lord, a battle at work, whatever it may be, Lord, would you, Heavenly Father, challenge us tonight to fight our battles on our knees and understand this is how I fight my battles. Lord, during this invitation time, I pray, Lord, that we would call out to you. And Lord, we would submit and surrender to the will of the Father. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I'm going to turn this over to your pastor. Brother Wayne, if you'll come, give the invitation. Listen, I'm certain there's folks here tonight that just need to do what King Hezekiah did. Fall on your knees and surrender.